Hello, everyone. It is 4:52 p.m. on the 10th of November. This is Ohio Exopolitics. I want to thank all the people that have been coming out to the Contemplate Creation site and listening to the shows and subscribing and getting in intense discussions and sometimes debates. I appreciate everyone listening. If there's controversy, it's only because I'm trying to get to the truth of a lot of things. And so sometimes I have my own thoughts, and sometimes they go a little contrary to the Meyer information, but I always come back to the Meyer information. It's a strange time that we live in. I have a film here. It's a lawyer discussing the PCR tests, and it says the title is "The Misuse of the PCR Tests: The Worst Crime Against Humanity Ever." So I'm going to play some of this, and maybe I'll have a few comments, and then after that we'll get into the Meyer material.
Hello, I am Rainer Fulmich, and I have been admitted to the bar in Germany and in California for 26 years. I have been practicing law primarily as a trial lawyer against fraudulent corporations such as Deutsche Bank, formerly one of the world's largest and most respected banks, today one of the most toxic criminal organizations in the world. VW, one of the world's largest and most respected car manufacturers, today notorious for its giant diesel fraud. And Kühne & Nagel, the world's largest shipping company, we're suing them in a multi-million dollar bribery case. I'm also one of four members of the German Corona Investigative Committee. Since July 10th, 2020, this committee has been listening to a large number of international scientists and experts' testimony to find answers to questions about the corona crisis, which more and more people worldwide are asking. All the above-mentioned cases of corruption and fraud committed by the German corporations pale in comparison in view of the extent of the damage that the corona crisis has caused and continues to cause. This corona crisis, according to all we know today, must be renamed a corona scandal, and those responsible for it must be criminally prosecuted and sued for civil damages. On a political level, everything must be done to make sure that no one will ever again be in a position of such power as to be able to defraud humanity or to attempt to manipulate us with their corrupt agendas. And for this reason, I will now explain to you how and where an international network of lawyers will argue this biggest tort case ever, the Corona fraud scandal, which has meanwhile unfolded into probably the greatest crime against humanity ever committed. Crimes against humanity were first defined in connection with the Nuremberg trials, after World War II, that is, when they dealt with the main war criminals of the Third Reich. Crimes against humanity are today regulated in Section 7 of the International Criminal Code. The three major questions to be answered in the context of a judicial approach to the corona scandal are: 1. Is there a corona pandemic, or is there only a PCR test pandemic? Specifically, does a positive PCR test result mean that the person tested is infected with COVID-19, or does it mean absolutely nothing in connection with the COVID-19 infection? 2. Do the so-called anti-corona measures, such as the lockdown, mandatory face masks, social distancing, and quarantine regulations, serve to protect the world's population from corona? Or do these measures serve only to make people panic so that they believe, without asking any questions, that their lives are in danger, so that in the end, the pharmaceutical and tech industries can generate huge profits from the sale of PCR tests, antigen and antibody tests, and vaccines, as well as the harvesting of our genetic fingerprints? And 3, is it true that the German government was massively lobbied, more so than any other country, by the chief protagonists of this so-called pro-corona pandemic, Mr. Drosten, virologist at Charité Hospital in Berlin, Mr. Wheeler, veterinarian and head of the German equivalent of the CDC, the RKI, and Mr. Tedros, head of the World Health Organization, or WHO, because of Germany is known as a particularly disciplined country and was therefore to become a role model for the rest of the world for its strict and, of course, successful adherence to the corona measures. Answers to these three questions are urgently needed because the allegedly new and highly dangerous coronavirus has not caused any excess mortality anywhere in the world, and certainly not here in Germany. But the anti-corona measures, whose only basis are the PCR test results, which are in turn all based on the German Drosten test, have, in the meantime, caused the loss of innumerable human lives and have destroyed the economic existence of countless companies and individuals worldwide. In Australia, for example, people are thrown into prison if they do not wear a mask or do not wear it properly as deemed by the authorities. In the Philippines, people who do not wear a mask or do not wear it properly in this sense are getting shot in the head. Let me first give you a summary of the facts that they present as they present themselves today. The most important thing in a lawsuit is to establish the facts, that is, to find out what actually happened. That is because the application of the law always depends on the facts at issue. If I want to prosecute someone for fraud, I cannot do that by presenting the facts of a car accident. So, what happened here regarding the alleged corona pandemic? The facts laid out below are to a large extent the result of the work of the Corona Investigative Committee. This committee was founded on July 10th by four lawyers in order to determine, through hearing expert testimony of international scientists and other experts, 1. How dangerous is the virus really? 2. What is the significance of a positive PCR test? 3. What collateral damage has been caused by the corona measures, both with respect to the world's population's health and with respect to the world's economy? Let me start with a little bit of background information. What happened in May 2019 and then in early 2020, and what happened 12 years earlier with the swine flu, which many of you may have forgotten about? In May of 2019, the stronger of the two parties which governed Germany in a grand coalition, the CDU, held a Congress on Global Health, apparently at the instigation of important players from the pharmaceutical industry and the tech industry. At this Congress, the usual suspects, you might say, gave their speeches. Angela Merkel was there and the German Secretary of Health, Jens Spahn. But some other people, whom one would not necessarily expect to be present at such a gathering, were also there. Professor Drosten, virologist from the Charité Hospital in Berlin, Professor Wheeler, veterinarian and head of the RKI, the German equivalent of the CDC, as well as Mr. Tedros, philosopher and head of the World Health Organization, WHO. They all gave speeches there. Also present and giving speeches were the chief lobbyists of the world's two largest health funds, namely the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Wellcome Trust. Less than a year later, these very people called the shots in the proclamation of the worldwide corona pandemic, made sure that mass PCR tests were used to prove mass infections with COVID-19 all over the world, and are now pushing for vaccines to be invented and sold worldwide. These infections, or rather the positive test results that the PCR tests delivered, in turn became the justification for worldwide lockdowns, social distancing, and mandatory face masks. It is important to note at this point that the definition of a pandemic was changed 12 years earlier. Until then, a pandemic was considered to be a disease that spread worldwide and which led to many serious illnesses and deaths. Suddenly, and for reasons never explained, it was supposed to be a worldwide disease only.
Well, I'll stop here for now. This particular YouTube is not on YouTube. It's on a new YouTube, that's called brandnewtube.com. And please check it out. It's called The Misuse of PCR Tests, The Worst Crime Against Humanity Ever. I'm hoping to come back to this video at some other time. This fellow is a German man. His name begins with an R, Reinhold or Reinmann or something. And he is involved in this lawsuit that's against the guy that developed the PCR test, Christian Drosten, who is a German virologist. He developed the PCR test. Now, the PCR test is based on the PCR process, which was developed by Carrie Banks Mullis, who was an American biochemist who got the Nobel Prize, shared the Nobel Prize with someone after they developed this. Basically, the long and short of it is all of these PCR tests that supposedly show that people have COVID cannot show that people have COVID because the underlying technology, which was created by Carrie Banks Mullis, cannot be used to determine a specific virus present. It can only tell us a family of viruses, like a coronavirus is there, not necessarily COVID-19. So all of these positive tests, which are supposedly happening all over the place, many, many, many of them are false positive. So anyway, it's kind of a long story, but very interesting, and I'm sure it's going to cause a lot of controversy. Someone said, I think it was Solaris, who was on the show last time, said, wherever the truth is, controversy's not far behind, or something like that. Boy, that is the truth. I'm not really interested in controversy. I only want to get to the truth, and sometimes I really can set up a dust storm of controversy. One of the things that I've been reading over and over and over again, and that's what I have to do to really learn the Might of Thoughts information, is something from page 288, and it says, if the human being remains separated from himself or herself by disregarding his inner nature and not forming it such that it conforms with the creational natural laws and recommendations, then he or she separates himself, so to speak, from his own life, because as a result of not developing himself or herself higher, he/she distances himself from real life, that is to say, from his or her own real self. I think I've been experiencing something like this for a while, and it's very uncomfortable. So it says, if the human being remains separated, and that's what it feels like. Remember, we've got the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. The material consciousness, you could say, is roughly what we might call the inner nature. So it says here that if you remain separated from yourself, this happens because you're disregarding the inner nature. So the inner nature is different, I think you can equate it with the material consciousness. So you've kind of disregarded your own inner nature, some aspect of your own inner nature. Because we've got the inner nature and the innermost creational nature, which is roughly equivalent to your spiritual consciousness. So it's almost like a divide occurs. And between the way I see this, and if anyone has a better or a similar or a different or any other take on this, I'd be glad to hear it. But because we already know that we have the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness, and when the two are working together, the inner nature is conforming to the spiritual consciousness. And things are good then. And you feel whole and you have enthusiasm and you're very motivated. But sometimes that doesn't occur. The inner nature, some aspect of yourself seems to get separated from the inner nature. And it's like being separated from your own life. And you get distanced from your real life. So when you feel whole and the spiritual consciousness and the material consciousness are working together, that's the way things are supposed to be. But this passage speaks of being separated from yourself. And I think I know that feeling a little too well. The word separate can mean to move apart. So perhaps we get in a habit of somehow separating from the real self. And I think when this happens, you can have a sense of inner sadness, of frustration, you don't know why. Separation can also mean to divide or into distinct elements. I see the inner nature as another term for the material consciousness, who we are this lifetime. Might of Thoughts, page 290, also connected with knowing oneself and liking oneself is the factor of self-respect. And you should never let anyone change your opinion of yourself. That's a very important thing. I read this the other day in my morning readings, and it struck me as important. And also, unsatisfaction must never appear because it moves you to be inactive and to do things which are destructive and devolutive. So we should be steering our life according to the innermost creational nature. And then you'll love and respect the results that you get, which is a good thing. Steer means to guide or control. Let me read a little bit from page 36 of the Might of Thoughts. Thus at birth, when there are basic characteristics already present, when these are already formed within the development of the human being in the womb, simply through the might of the thoughts of the developing human being. Therefore, it is erroneous to assume that newly conceived life lives without thoughts during the 9-month period of human development in the womb. And what it does not develop greatly or does not develop at all in regard to its own entire personality as well as in regard to its character, morality, and psyche, because that allegedly only happens after birth. This claim is rather to an irrational teaching, a wrong presentation. As a matter of fact, thoughts pertaining to profound learning and the forming of personality as well as the forming of morality and the psyche and the basic character are namely already maintained by the developing human being in the womb. So we're doing a lot of thinking, believe it or not, and development in the womb. Which is a bit of amazing to me and not something I would have guessed. I would have guessed that there isn't all that much thought going on in the womb. But boy, would I be wrong about that. It must be never forgotten that a gloomy attitude constantly chases away the abundance and the prosperity. So always be performing self-cognition. So check yourself. Do I have a gloomy attitude? Do I feel separated from myself? Have I disregarded my inner nature? Am I being submissive? Don't be submissive either. The human being must never be submissive. Which is a really interesting thing that I've learned from the Meyer information as well. So, let me read just a few of my list of important things to tell yourself. I have added to it, and it's I haven't added new things to it. I've added things that, well, they're new to the list, but they've been in my head for a long time, and I never put them in the list, and they've kind of I stopped using them for a while. Here's a great one. All of the human being's might is anchored in his thoughts. So you may think you're physically strong, but really your might is in your thoughts. Every thought that is enlivened by might and power must, as a cause, also bring a quite certain effect. The effect of the thought is directly proportional to its might and power. That which the human being thinks, he makes real. And I believe it also says, that which the human being thinks about himself, he becomes. And that which the human being thinks about himself / herself, he or she becomes. So it's very important what you think about yourself. Don't let other people change your opinion of yourself. And that's hard to do sometimes because, you know, especially if they're in authority positions over you or people, you know, that you respect. But always take your own responsibility and claim the right for having your opinion of yourself. Because that's you know, that's all worked in with your potential and things like that. You can't let yourself get brainwashed because someone may say something negative about you. That which is thought fulfills itself sooner or later. Here's another big one. Man, just think about that. All the thoughts that you've had come out at different places. And if they have any might, they will fulfill themselves. Here's another one. The human being attracts that which he is. So those are from my list of important things to tell yourself. There's a bunch of other ones to quote them a lot. I probably better get back to that. The other important thing just off the top of my head that we always got to remember is the importance of creational natural laws like love. Love and wisdom go together in the creation, and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. Love being non-romantic love, the brotherly love. Then we've got striving, working, which is always absolutely so critical to keep striving. It's so, I can't emphasize it enough. I have to kick myself in the butt many, many times about not striving enough. Because delectation, harmony, happiness, as well as everything positive, as well as grief and everything negative are in the end, only the revelation of how pronounced the striving is in any life form. So you'll assert yourself in the world or you'll fall away based on your willingness to strive. There's also striving that goes on in the spirit realm, preparing for the new life and putting together what you've learned from the previous life. Striving requires an expenditure of effort and it must be achieved through hard work. And the striving typically isn't just dropped in your lap. And I think there's also this pressure associated with striving. When I say pressure, I mean like potentially stress, depending on how you interpret it. It's very important to deal with your striving. I'll just leave it at that. The other important Krishna natural law, I call the law of harmony, which is in a kind of simplistic view, I guess what you would call the whole point of the Mind of Thoughts book, which is to try to maintain the neutral, positive, equalized, balanced thinking, which is actually confident and optimistic and relaxed and cheerful. I think most people really are not confident and optimistic and relaxed and cheerful that often. It's kind of a happy accident when it occurs. So I don't think most people are really in that neutral, positive mode. I know sometimes I'm not, for sure. So, and then the law of system and order, I'm getting better at it in some ways. In some ways, I've had to be a little more fluid about certain things. System and order means you have a structure in your life. If you want to be happy, again, happiness depends on your willingness to strive, your willingness to have system and order. I'm telling myself this as I speak it. The daily life has to be structured and adhered to by this law of system and order. And it says we should have an exact schedule. I'm trying to get better at that. And if we do, then the aimlessness and the purposelessness go away. And we get rid of the disorder and the unpunctuality. So it's very important, this law of system and order. And if you want to look it up, there's actually, it looks like a page associated with it on the Future of Mankind site. Please Google Future of Mankind, Billy Meyer, if you want to find it. Solely by the law of system and order, the whole universe will be maintained in this law of system and order. The absolute universal love is embedded. Now that's interesting. I would not have, thought those two went together, but evidently having a good schedule also deals with an aspect of love, which by its own effort, each form of life must acquire. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy, and successful in material life, then the daily life has to be structured and adhered to in every respect to the very same law of system and order. I know sometimes I just throw my system and order out the window. I want to just veg out. I think that's what the secret dark order wants us to all do, be hypnotized and to follow and be submissive. So we have to try to shape our life to this law of system and order. I think of Billy and Svath speaking with each other, and I wonder if Svath told Billy about the law of system and order back in the 40s when the two first met, when Svath landed that strange silvery pear-shaped craft, and the young boy went out there, and he eventually was brought up into the ship, kind of like a, what do you call it, ghostly hands. It felt like ghostly hands. And wouldn't it be amazing to have this 1,000-year-old extraterrestrial tell you who you had been in your previous lives? And he told Billy he had been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and other people as well. What an amazing bit of information we've been given in this Meyer material. It's a very difficult time. Try to remain neutral, positive. Don't separate from yourself. Don't disregard your inner nature. Look into your inner nature and relax. Most of all, relax. Because if you can stay relaxed, then you can stay in that neutral positive mode and everything can fall into place for you. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for bearing with my long clips, but there's a lot of information out there. Hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow, and have a great evening. Good night.